Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm a dad and the host of this radio program, broadcasting on the eastern plains of Colorado during the demise of Western civilization. Faith, family, and freedom coming apart at the seams. That's right, 40% of kids born without fathers, up from 6% in 1960. The family in shambles. The faith disappearing, 80% of Christian kids walking away from the faith, and I'm concerned. That's why I broadcast on this radio program, folks, and here is the problem. You want to nail the problem. Here it is, the most significant social change in the history of the world that has contributed to the demise of faith, family, and freedom. The most significant social change that has shifted the way that we live as families, as people, as Christians, has been the fact that over the last 150 years, Dad left home. That's right. Dad left home. Please don't minimize it. Please don't ignore it. Face the facts. Don't turn away from it. Look it in the eye right now. The fact of the matter is, in the latter part of the 19th century, Dad left home. Why did dating replace courtship? Why all the teenage rebellion of the 1900s? Why 70% of young men not grown up by 30 years of age, up from 30% in 1970, per Newsweek magazine? Why are boys falling apart at the seams? Why are economies crashing? Dads left home. Why 40% of kids born without fathers? Dads left home. Why are people killing their own kids by the tens of millions since 1970? Dads left home. Why the dissolution of the family in the 20th century? Dads left home. Why no generational vision anymore? Why don't people care? Why are we spending our grandkids' inheritance into oblivion through deficit spending right and left in every single aspect of government? Why no generational vision? Why could we care less about our kids? Why do we kill them? Why do we not care about our grandkids? Why all the deficit spending? Dads left home. Dads have no vision. Why are there so few functional churches? Why so few elders who can shepherd well in their own homes and in the church? Because dads left home. By the hundreds of millions, dads left home. The families are falling apart by the hundreds of millions. There are no functional churches to speak of left anywhere. The social system that once was a Christian social system that established our civilizations firmly upon families, why is all this disintegrated? Because over 150 years, dads left home. For 6,000 years, Almanza Wilder, farmer boy, was plowing the fields next to dad. That's what they did until the Industrial Revolution. And of course, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, who abandoned five of his kids on the steps of an orphanage in the 1760s and then wrote the book on how to manage societies in the modern world. Jean-Jacques Rousseau, Karl Marx, and all the smart intellectuals of the 1700s, 1800s told us how to do it. And dads, their hearts left home and then their bodies left home. And ladies and gentlemen, we are going to reverse this. We're going to spend the next 100 years of this radio broadcast, that's right, myself, my son, my grandsons, we are going to spend the next 100 years reversing these trends. The corporate life has disintegrated the family. It's been doing it since the 1880s, and we're going to reverse that. That's right. My son, my grandsons will pick up this vision. We will carry it on. And the vision, my friends, is to decentralize economies. To decentralize economies, to bring them back home, to establish contractual-based economies. They're called oikonomias. Economics comes from the word oikonomia in the Greek. Oikos is family. Nomia is vision or law. The vision of the family, the basic economic unit, has got to be the family, has been for 6,000 years. We're going to bring it back. We are going to bring it back. There are people right now who have this vision. We're reestablishing it through conferences all across this country. I'm going to interview Wade Myers from NewVentureLabs.com in just a moment to talk about this important vision of decentralization of economies back into the oikonomia. But we have a great conference lined up for you next year, 2010. This will be our 2010 conference for the Generations Ministry, March 5th and 6th in Denver. We're bringing some great speakers in. We're going to be talking about rebuilding family economies for the 21st century. That's right, bringing a family economy back so you will understand how to run your family economy and work debt-free living, inheritance, family charity, saving, investments, taking care of your aging parents in your own home, family entrepreneurism, retirement, education and mentorship of our young men, raising dominion-oriented daughters. healthcare decisions and insurance for the family, how to run a family o economia. Finally, a conference on this in Denver on March 5th and 6th. For more information, check out our website at kevinswanson.com. But hang in there. We're going to be back in just a moment to talk about how to get this thing started with Wade Myers next on Generations. Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org. Welcome back to the Generations Radio Broadcast, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. If this program is about anything, it is about the decentralization of economies. This is our goal over the next 100 years of this radio broadcast with the generations that carry on this vision. We want to see a radical decentralization of economies. I believe we can decentralize everything, right down to the manufacture of automobiles. I think we can contractualize everything. It just depends on the character of the people and the sort of vision that God places in the hearts of fathers out there listening to this broadcast right now. I think we can do it, and we can do it certainly through a lot of the resources that Wade Myers has produced through his newventurelab.com. And Wade is back with us now on the Generations Radio broadcast. Wade, welcome back to the program, my friend.
Thanks, Kevin. It's great to be back with you.
Wade, I really believe that we can bring business back home. I think we can do it. I think it's a matter of the heart. It's the desire that God places in men everywhere. If they are willing and able and interested and desirous of doing these things, I think we can bring it back. I think we can decentralize economies. It sounds like a huge vision, but I think we can do it over the next 100 years.
I agree, Kevin. I agree completely. We have lost our way in the past 100 years and or so, and we just need to chart a course to get back to where we once were, to where men were entrepreneurial, worked with their sons and their families, and, you know, the whole provider role was part of the family leader role and the family protector role, and it was all part of one holistic family unit that did all things together.
And we want to be realistic, Wade. It's not going to happen overnight. This is going to take a long time, but let's take some baby steps and let's start working in that direction. And that's what we want to deal with today on this broadcast, Wade. You have a tremendous background in starting up businesses. You have worked with hundreds of millions of dollars of capital in starting up businesses all over this country. And so you have some terrific experience in this area. Now, how does somebody just start out evaluating good business opportunities, Wade?
Well, at the outset, one of the things that I would recommend, Kevin, is that we are more strategic in our approach rather than opportunistic. So let me define that a little bit. The typical opportunistic approach to a business venture is you read about something. You hear about a franchise. A friend has started up a company and it sounds great. Or a brother-in-law gives you an idea, a guy at church, et cetera. So something opportunistically comes across your path, and you start to evaluate it. To me, those kinds of opportunities are not nearly as powerful as the ones that are more strategic, where you sit down and you say, okay, I'm going to spend some time defining what kind of business I want in terms of what I'm looking for, the context, you know, how I'm gifted, how I'm skilled, the experiences I've had, and all of that. And so I typically lay out a roadmap to say, if you follow this roadmap, coming up with the ideas should be fairly easy once you've defined all the criteria. And then once you've generated all your ideas, then you want to have a powerful framework for evaluating them. So I kind of turn that process around a little bit, because here's what happens. When you look at an opportunity opportunistically, you're basically just taking whatever comes across your path, whatever comes across over your transom, and you're evaluating that. And many of those characteristics of that business idea may not be a good fit for you at all.
Yeah.
So why waste your time running down all those bunny trails when you can be much more intentional by being more strategic? And I can, what we teach at the Venture Academy is exactly how to do that in one of the presentations and workshops, and we can certainly highlight some of that here if you like.
Yeah. So you want to take a look at your own skills, and I think also your own family skills. For example, if you have seven daughters and no sons, you may not want to start a business, chopping trees and making firewood. You may want to go with maybe something more like a baking business, perhaps, depending on what the skills and abilities of your family happen to be. And I guess you got to assess whether or not you're sort of hands-on people, or kind of the brainy types, and you might be more of a family that wants to deal in the area of accounting or something of that sort.
Yeah, so the first three steps, here are the three steps that I would suggest. So let's just say that right now we have a family where dad goes off to work every day and the rest of the family is at home, and so they're trying to figure out what to do. I would first say, let's sit down as a family. Dad, take leadership here and start to define what would be the ideal business. And what we want to start with is the spiritual evaluation criteria. We want to agree that any kind of business that we start has to be God-honoring. It has to conform with the patterns, principles, and precepts of Scripture. Pretty easy, I think, for a Christian to start out that way. But you know what? If we look at an opportunity, it's very easy to trade that off and say, oh, but we'll make so much money. It'll be all right. We can use it for kingdom purposes. It's not ideal, but it'll be all right. And it's really easy to start to compromise. But if we start, instead of looking at ideas, let's start with defining what would be a good business. Well, a good business for a Christian entrepreneur is going to be a God-honoring business. Won't cause anyone to stumble. It'll be a value-added product or service, right? So we can start with that. Then we can define our personal evaluation criteria. For the main entrepreneur, let's say it's going to be dad. What are his spiritual gifts? What are his passions to serve others? What are his abilities, his personality? Is he wired to do certain things better than others? What are his experiences? What industries has he worked in? What kinds of things has he done, et cetera? Because he's going to be the main driver of this thing. What are his skills? Besides his experiences, how is he, trained, and what is he skilled at? And what kind of resources does the family have? So if dad only has 2 hours every night, we got to be realistic that everything that's going to happen here with dad driving this thing is going to have to happen in those 2 hours every night. But as a family, if the family sat down and said, okay, we're going to put our minds to it. For the next year or so, we're just going to kind of clear the table, and right after dinner as a family, we're going to just get after the business of starting a business. But we got to know the resources in terms of time, in terms of capital, how much money does the family have, et cetera. Now, that's for the entrepreneur. Now, we also want to say, what is the ideal context? Now, many listeners to your program will immediately say, well, it's dad coming home, turning his heart towards home, working with the family. Okay, so the context, it has to be a business that can be run mostly from home. Now, maybe dad and sons are going to go out and serve customers and so forth, and maybe mom and the daughters are going to do the customer service and the billing and the accounting at home and so forth. But if this is going to be a home-based business, the context, let's define that first, and then let's build a business that allows us to do that, as opposed to going, well, it's a pretty good opportunity. Now, dad will have to travel a lot. Not ideal, but it's pretty good. It's so easy to trade off and compromise.
Right.
So
right.
We want to get the context down. Then we can go to the rest of the family members and say, okay, what are mom and the kids? What are their spiritual gifts? What's their passion? What are their abilities, personalities, experiences, skills? And then we're going to get this whole kind of portfolio of all of these resources available. And as we start to lay all that out and be introspective and prayerful with that, hopefully now we come up with a pretty good list of all that we have going for us, right, as a family. that we can apply for a business. What we're trying to do here is really seek alignment with where God has placed us, right? So, you know, all of these things are going to build into, you know, the kind of opportunity that will be very strategic.
And again, so, Wade, I think we need to say at this point that as we talk about family economics or the family oikonomia, we're assuming that the family is engaged productively together, and you're not wasting a lot of time throughout the day with extracurricular activities, umpteen sports experiences, kids hanging out with their friends in the neighborhood ad nauseum, playing the computer games, watching the television set. We're saying we turn off most, if not all, of that, and we focus in on taking dominion of God's green earth and teaching our children how to work, because that's what they're supposed to do 6 days out of every week and rest one day. And we're just talking about a completely different social framework, and families are going to have to shift some gears here.
Yeah, I totally agree. Let me give you a little picture of what this looks like. 3 years ago, I started doing this with my family. I've always been very goal-oriented and always had all my objectives and goals for the year, the quarter, the month, etc. And I said, my kids were old enough where I said, you know what, it's time to start having family meetings. It's time to start leading the family in the same way I've led my companies as a CEO. So I sat at the dining room table with my laptop, called the family meeting, and said, okay, look, we're going to talk about Myers Enterprises, and we're going to talk about all the things we're going to try to accomplish this year. And we're calling the meeting to order, and we just went through a whole bunch of ideas for each child even. Okay, you know, Adam, what can we have you do this year that would be productive and fun and build your skills portfolio as an 8-year-old, you know, in the right context, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Julia, at 12, okay, you're going to be capable of much more. What can you do as a family? What kind of things do you want to accomplish? And really kind of set the stage for, there's no foolishness here. There's no time for foolishness. We're not going to mess around.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. You got to give up. And all of a sudden, what the family can rally to is, hey, Dad's leading. Dad's providing this vision for us. I agree. This is way more important than my video games or whatever else. And so the dad has to lead this. Dad has to articulate the vision. And even if they start with, let's have regular family meetings, and let's check ourselves on the progress, let's prayerfully seek God's face on what we're trying to accomplish, and let's start to come up with ideas. And the kids could come up with amazing ideas,
yeah.
And they can do things, and they're skilled at doing things that can really contribute. So I agree with you. You got to set that stage. It's got to be intentional.
And don't be afraid of the ramp. I mean, you're not going to be making $48,000 a year within 2 months. You know, you're going to be on this ramp, and don't be afraid of starting a business that may only yield you a couple of grand the first year.
Yeah, and the main thing that the first few attempts will yield is learning.
Mm-hmm.
It will yield a tremendous family unity if you do it properly, right, where everyone's working together. And what I always try to do is say, look, let's don't expect wonderful results in whatever we do. So if the girls are going to have a little business and a little thing they're doing, I'm really more interested at those ages of, you know, 8, 10, and 12, my three older ones, of just trying to teach them skills, sales, customer service, operations, skills. I just took the family through a income statement the other day. We have a whiteboard right by our dining room table. And something came up in conversation, so I jumped up and went through an income statement with them. I'm teaching them the lexicon, right, just the language of business. They're not going to get it all at once, but, you know, it's that kind of building into them the skills of business. So in many cases, the first two or three or five attempts of a family business is just learning. That's the real value. And in learning maybe that it wasn't a good business idea after all, learning that it was too hard to sell or too hard to service or whatever. But if we properly define all of these things, the ideal context, the resources, all of our skills and abilities, now we have a laundry list of stuff to say, okay, a good business opportunity will be a good fit with all of this, right?
All right.
Then the next step is to generate the ideas. So now we can say to ourselves, and one of the things that I often say to, especially to the men that are trying to figure out how to start their own business, is that, you know, the more new things they're experiencing while trying to launch a new venture, the greater the risk and the greater the likelihood of failure.
Yeah.
So the man that's been working in, you know, industry X that tries to launch a venture in industry Y, he's going to lack a lot of context in terms of contacts in that industry, experience in that industry, understanding how business models work in that industry, customer contacts in that industry, et cetera. So it's always much more powerful for somebody to launch a venture in an industry that they know well, right?
Yes.
And doing the kinds of things that they know how to do. So, you know, the software developer that knows how to develop software using a certain toolkit, serving customers in a certain industry, it would be far better served to start up his own software company to, using that same kind of software toolkit and solving another problem for the very same customers in that very same industry.
Yeah.
He's not doing a lot different, right?
Yeah.
And so he is going to know so much more about the customer context and the industry context. He'll have some customer contacts to go back to and say, you might remember me. I used to work for XYZ company. Now I have my own firm. I helped you solve this problem. I was with that company. Now I'm helping to solve that problem. You know, it's that kind of thinking. So that's why with this first stage of defining all of our experiences, all of our skills, all of our ability as a family will help point us towards really good ideas where we can say, oh, well, we can just do this, you know. So that's what I try to do is say, okay, now during the idea generation phase, start to develop potential scenarios.
Right.
Well, Dad, you could do this, or, you know, Mom could do this, and children, we could do that, and just start to lay out all these different ideas of what we could do based on what we have. So, for example, we recently bought a farm, and so I told the family, you know, it'd be really fun to you know, I don't have a lot of time to do this, but we could try to, you know, as a family, get my son working on one of them, but we could, there's a lot of things we could do with the farm. We could start a CSA, a community supported agriculture. We could, you know, have a cattle breeding operation. I grew up on a ranch. I could help direct that, but have, you know, the family do a lot of the labor, because that's one of the resources now is we have this farm, and I do have some skills in agriculture, and so and maybe we can even find a, you know, a young family to come and help do that on a revenue share basis, so I could take the family through how to do those kinds of, you know, contracts and business relationships, right? So that's an example of, hey, there's an idea. We have this farm. We could do something with it. And so that's just what we're trying to do now in the idea generation phase, is to generate ideas that are consistent with all those things that we defined that would be a good fit for us based on context, skills, ability, experiences, et cetera.
Wait, as you begin to think about your competition, I think that comes into play pretty quickly here. And you realize that you're probably not going to be able to, say, compete with Walmart on a cheaper price. How do you frame your own product or service such that you've got maybe a better mousetrap and you'd attract customers based upon something that would be even better than your competition might supply?
Right. So now, that's the third stage. That's evaluating the idea. So the first stage was to define all the criteria. Part of the criteria you're going to define is how to evaluate an idea from a business perspective. So we've been talking about the personal perspective, the spiritual perspective, et cetera, but then there's this whole business perspective. And this is, to do that properly, we've developed a web-based tool. It's on the newventurelab.com website called the Venture Analysis. And this is where no matter what your experience level is, you can benefit from walking through all these different aspects of evaluating the business idea. So first stage is to define the criteria. Second stage is to come up with all the ideas. Once you've come up with some ideas, and I wouldn't just come up with one and evaluate it. I'd come up with several. It's the whole, you know, let's get all those scenarios laid out, right?
Pluses and negatives.
Then let's start to evaluate them. And one of the evaluation areas will be the industry. And that's kind of where you get to in terms of, okay, who are my competitors?
Yeah.
How concentrated are they? How powerful are they? How do they price, et cetera, right? My suppliers, organic growth of the industry, the size of the addressable market, you know, seasonality. There's all kinds of things that we want to evaluate now. And what I never want an entrepreneur to do is to fall in love with an idea, all right? So develop several ideas during your idea generation phase, and then as objectively as possible, take your criteria that you defined in phase one, which probably should include the venture analysis, right, because it's going to walk you through 50 of the most important things to think about, you know, industry aspects of the business, financial aspects, operational aspects, product and service aspects, and then customer aspects. How do you sell customers? How do you find them? How long is the sales process? What kind of contractual relationship would you have with the customers, et cetera? There's all these things that you now want to evaluate, but you can do it objectively, right? Now, you can use the venture analysis for an opportunistic idea as well, but you may be missing, there might be a lot of misalignment if you haven't gone through defining the ideal criteria, right? Because the business criteria is just one part of, like we've mentioned, there's a spiritual, personal, family context, et cetera. But there's a whole host of things that the entrepreneur then will want to evaluate from a business perspective, as we mentioned.
Yeah.
In the industry will include competition. Now, in terms of product or service, one of the things there that we talk about is the value proposition. And this gets to the heart of the question that you asked.
Yeah.
What is it about your product or service that will make customers choose you over the Walmart or whatever else, whoever else the competition is? Is it because you offer better service? Are you going to try to have a lower price? You know, good luck with that one, right, with a large supplier like Walmart.
Right.
Or are you going to try to have a higher quality product or service? Is it because of something else that you're doing, other value that you're adding to it? So the value proposition, this whole idea is, what is it of value that the customers are buying? Can they recognize that? Can you properly articulate it to your customer set or to your prospects, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so all of that, the venture analysis will walk you through all those questions. And then you should feel empowered as the entrepreneur to say, you know what, this is not a good idea. We're going to reject this one because of all these things. It didn't meet our criteria or, you know, whatever, right? And then go back to the next idea and evaluate that. And so what I tell entrepreneurs is, don't get down if your very first idea didn't pan out. You know, maybe you didn't even get through the planning stages because it seemed to be a bad idea by the time you were done analyzing it. That's fine. Go grab the next idea and analyze that. But spend the time, as Christ, you know, warned us, to count the cost. You know, do the analysis up front. Use, you know, wisdom in analyzing this. Use good counsel as you analyze these ideas. Sometimes if we jump in too quickly, we'll make some really bad mistakes and potentially costly mistakes, right?
Right.
All of this is learning.
Yeah.
But let's be as wise as possible as we evaluate the idea.
And Wade, I appreciate the wisdom here, because I think as you analyze properly and you walk through this meticulously and carefully, you're going to wind up with more confidence when you launch that business. But what do you say to people that are pretty intimidated right now, especially in a down economy? Just fear everywhere. And I'm not sure a lot of folks want to venture out and do anything at all. What do you say to them?
Well, yeah, that's true. There is a lot of fear. There is a lot of anxiety. But see, even now, there are lots of products and services that are in high demand and flying off the shelf. You and I both know a young man really well that is selling precious metals right now.
Yeah.
And so people are looking at, you know, our monetary system. They're looking at the potential inflation. They're looking at our national debt and so forth and saying, okay, I want to invest more in things that will have a higher, you know, value and have a better store of value than maybe this is the stock market. So if you look at the context, you can see what's in demand. Other things that are in demand right now, simple living books, you know, how to save money on your budget, how to cut costs, anything that cuts costs right now.
Right.
I have a couple of friends that are simultaneously starting different businesses but doing the same thing, which is to come into a person's home, do an energy audit that helps slash your energy costs, right?
Yeah.
Doing better insulation, et cetera. People will invest in hard savings right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right now it's booming. Auto repair, because people are putting off a new auto purchase. Home repair and remodeling, because people would rather do that than build a new home, right? So whatever is hurting in the economy, new home sales are down, new car sales are down, you know what's going up on the other side is, you know, repair and used car sales, et cetera. So in every situation, there's always products and services that are in demand. So I would say, don't be intimidated. Now is a great time to start a business. A lot of good businesses were started during the Great Depression.
Right.
Look for what people are demanding. Look for what the unmet needs are. What are your own unmet needs? What is it that you wish people were offering that you can't find? And so just, you know, that's one way of generating ideas.
There are always great opportunities available to us. It's just a matter of us taking the faith, the risk, the trust in God to go out there and start engaging the markets and doing the work and the dominion work that God commands us to do. And I don't think there's any ifs, ands, or buts. We're supposed to get out there and work 6 days, and certainly Christians are bound by that command. And I appreciate the wisdom today, Wade, that you have given us. And folks, you want to get in touch with Wade Myers and get a hold of his Basic Entrepreneurship series on DVD, available at newventurelab.com. Also, Wade, you have a seminar of some sort coming up, don't you?
Yes, there are a couple of conferences in Toledo, Ohio, Charlottesville, Virginia, and we have a 1-week Basic Entrepreneurship training course in Middle Tennessee in the Fairview, Tennessee area. It's a whole, it's the 1 week long basic entrepreneurship training course. That's the end of October. The other two conferences are in the beginning and middle of October.
Yeah.
And in the, yeah, the DVD training series, it's basically the entire week long basic entrepreneurship training experience all in a set of DVDs. I think there's 35 or 40 DVDs and workbooks and all kinds of information. So there's it's available both live and in recorded version.
As far as I'm concerned, better than a college education, folks. Some great information available through Wade Myers and the NewVentureLab.com. That's NewVentureLab.com on the web for all this information. Thanks again, Wade, for joining us on Generations. We appreciate your wisdom.
Thanks, Kevin. It was my pleasure.
Again, folks, for that basic entrepreneurship series on DVD, you want to go to NewVentureLab.com. And don't forget our Family Economics Conference, March 5th and 6th of 2010, in full available at KevinSwanson.com. Where you can hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world, that's KevinSwanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we cast a vision for the next generation and the next generation.